ask you to take your Bibles out tonight and turn to Psalms 127, where we left off this morning. We are examining the subject, Let Us Pray. We are talking about the value of prayer and how it can aid our lives as we live here on earth. As we finished up this morning, we were examining the subject matter of how we need to pray for help in our families. I want to begin and pick that up tonight and understand that Satan attacks man, woman, and child. And he does that in a number of ways. He does that by trying to change the definition of the home, trying to change the definition of marriage. He tries to change the attitudes of men and women that they know better than God, and that they're their own persons, and they can choose their own direction, and they can do things in their own way. Now again, all that's true in a sense. Man is a free moral agent. He can choose to serve God in any capacity or way that he chooses. The only thing he needs to be concerned about is whether or not God will receive that. In Matthew chapter 18, chapter 15, verse 89, Jesus said that men can worship him in vain if they teach his doctrine, the commandments of men. And we need to always pray for God's help in our families, always. And I'm sure we've all been doing that during this pandemic, where we prayed and petitioned God to watch over our children, our grandchildren, and to make sure that they're safe. And myself, I've been praying a lot for my parents, who are in nursing facilities that are very vulnerable to this this virus. And so again, we can ask God for help. And God has promised us that he will help us deal with whatever comes our way. And so we need to remember that he is our source and our strength. One of the things that we often forget is God is our strength. And we need to not think about him last. We need to think about him first. And then I want to talk about something that is probably much more necessary today than it's ever been. And that's in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in the first 7 verses, the Apostle Paul instructed Timothy that we are to pray for our leaders. We are to make many fervent prayers for our leaders, for conditions that are favorable to godliness. We see in these verses, beginning in chapter 2, verse 1, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplication and prayers and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in godliness and reverence. We are to pray for our leaders. Now, we just had an election. Seems that it's still ongoing. But we've had an election, and we've elected government officials as a nation. Now, the person that you wanted and the person I may have wanted may not have won the election. And somebody else may be sitting in that seat that I would rather not be in there. But I still have a responsibility. My responsibility is to pray for that individual. Whoever sits in the White House come January 20th, I will pray for that individual that God will help him in his decision making, that we can lead lives that are favorable to godliness and for peace. We have a lot of unrest in our society. We have a lot of civil disobedience going on. And we need decisions made that what's going on in a lot of the major cities, I don't want to come to rural Harrisburg, Kentucky. And so we need to pray for our leaders, not just the president. We need to pray for our governor. There's a lot of things that our governor does and I'm not particularly fond of, things that I don't agree with. When he tried to shut down the churches, I was not in much agreement with that. And I will not be again if he tries to do that again. But again, I'm going to pray for him. He's got a tough job. He's the one that's in the position to make these decisions. And those decisions have consequences. And we need to pray for him that he'll use wisdom and guidance and seek advice to make decisions that will keep us at peace and will be favorable to our godliness. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm sure most of us in here, and probably all of us, when we before this election happened, we made a lot of prayer, and we prayed for a lot of things. Now, if it didn't come in the way that we wanted it, does that mean that God didn't hear our prayer? No. Does that mean God didn't answer our prayer? No. Because in our prayers, we pray for God's help, whatever the outcome is. When you pray to God, and when I pray to God, I have to accept whatever answer he gives me. I may not like it, I might not even agree with it. But we have to remember that in the end, there's a passage. You know, for many years I struggled with this passage, and maybe some of you still struggle with it today. It's in Romans 8:28. It says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Now, you and I might think that some things that are going wrong are not very good. But what does it mean that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord? That means that the most important things, and my relationship with God, and my security, and my spiritual relationship with God, that all of that's going to be fine no matter what's going on around me. Now, I'm not telling you that we don't need to be concerned. I'm concerned. I'm concerned with the direction our country is going in. I'm concerned about some of the decisions that they're making. But I'm not going to lose faith. I'm not going to lose my trust in God. And I'm not going to lose confidence that I have in God, but in the end, that it will work out for my good. And we have to never forget that. I've told you many times during this pandemic, we need to remember that God's still in control. God is still on the throne. And we pray for our leaders. We made our voice heard. Last November 3rd, we cast our ballots. We did all we could do. That's as far as you can go. You can't force anybody to agree with you, and you can't force the issue. You can just do what your part is. And whatever the result, we pray to God to help us deal with whatever the result is. And so we need to make those prayers, and we need to do that on a continual basis because they sure need them, because of the grave responsibilities and duties that they have in the positions of authority. In verse 3 through 7, God's purpose in ruling nations is to spread the gospel and the saving of souls. Look at the rest of this text. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all to testify in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. We need to pray for our leaders that the conditions are favorable for the gospel to go forth. One of the reasons that I am thankful that I live in this country is the freedom that I have to worship God in the way that he has instructed me to do. And I also have the freedom to try to lead others to Christ. I have the freedom to teach the gospel. I have the freedom to differ with people that I differ with on religious things. There are countries around the world that you can differ with what the popular belief is. Because if you do, your life will be very short. They don't allow that. In totalitarian countries and communist countries, you don't have a choice. You have to submit to whatever the government says is the way that you should go. But we live in a country where we have the right and the freedom to worship and to, not only that, but to teach the gospel to those who are lost and dying in sin. Now, brethren, we need to always pray for our leaders that freedom will never be taken away from us. You know, there was a time in the first century when men of God and women of God, they died for their faith. In order to worship God and to practice the Christianity that they believed in and serve God, they were dying for their Lord. They were dying for their faith. They were being put in prison. Their families were being killed before them. Their land was taken away. Their jobs were taken away. They were used as sport in some of the Roman emperors that came through the Roman domination in the world. And yet, God told them in the book of Revelations, don't give up. Don't lose sight. Whatever happens at the end of this election, everything's not lost. Everything is not going to be a disaster. We'll get through this. We'll get through whatever is out there if we trust God. Now, it may not be the way we like, and it may cause us some things that we'd rather not deal with, but if we trust God, if we put our faith in God, He will see us through. Whatever obstacles that we have to overcome, God will see us through. But the most important thing is that we have time and opportunity to help reach people who are lost. Brethren, there's never been a time in the world that the world needs the gospel more than they need now. Not even all over the world, but especially in our country. Our country has forgotten about God. They have completely forgotten about who God is, what God's word is, and we are looked at as being an obstacle to progression. We are an obstacle to the progressive movement that the majority of this country wants to go in. We can't let up. We can't lose sight, and we can't lose hope. What we do is take our opportunities when they are presented. Brethren, I believe that things go in cycles. And sometimes when you go so far, one way, there's only one way to go. You've gone as far as you can one way, there's only one other alternative. And that's to start backing up and to start going back. And when they do, and they will, if cycles of history are anything, and they will, and when they do, that will be an opportunity for us to show them that God has a better way. And that's what we should pray for. You and I need to pray for our leaders, and we need to pray that God will put us in contact with fervent hearts who want to do His will. And if you pray for that, God will answer that prayer. He will make sure that the sinner who's searching for the truth will contact someone that can share the gospel with him. We have to be ready when those opportunities present themselves. So we need to pray for our leaders that conditions are favorable for godliness and for favorable of spreading the gospel. But you know what? We also need to pray for God's help through all of life's trials, temptations, and storm of life. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. You know, this book, in the book of Philippians is a book of joy. Paul wrote this book to the church of Philippi, and he talked about a lot of things in it that bring joy. But in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, he says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to have trial, and we're going to have storms, and we're going to have temptation. And we're going to have things that happen in our lives, with our families, maybe with our jobs, and we're going to have times when we're going to have adversity in our life. And we need to lean on God when those times come. What do we pray for? Well, we pray for balance. We pray for calm and strength in all circumstances. And to remember that the Lord is near. There is nothing that the world can throw at us that God does not have an answer on how to deal with it. Now, dealing with it may not be easy, may not be convenient. It may not even solve the problem, but what it will not do It will not destroy our faith. It won't destroy our relationship with God. And it won't weaken our resolve to share the gospel with those that we have opportunity. The Lord is always near. There's never a time that the Lord is too busy to hear you or to talk with you when you are struggling in your life. You see, what does he mean, the peace that passes all understanding? What does that mean? It says, be anxious for nothing. So how can we be free from having anxiety and stress? Well, never be overwhelmed with care. Offer thanks to God and pray to God for strength. Don't allow circumstances to overwhelm you. Listen to me. Circumstances are temporary. They come, they go. There's a beginning, there's an ending. And you never should let something temporal destroy something that's eternal. Our hope in Christ is eternal. Our promise to be with God forever in heaven is an eternal promise that God has promised to give us. And the temporal difficulties that we have in this life, the temporal obstacles that Satan puts in our way, and the difficulties that we have to endure from time to time, can never rob us of the eternal things unless we allow them to do so. The peace of God that passes all understanding. What does that mean? The peace of God that will guard our hearts. Listen, brethren, there's only so much we can do. Every one of us can do all we can do, and then we have to let it go. And then we have to put it in God's hands. And we have to move forward. And we have to not worry about it. Not wring our hands about it. Not live in despair. Not live in fear. Do the best we can. That's all we can do. And God will help us be able to do that. But if you try to deal with problems of this life, I don't know if you remember, it's been maybe 5-6 years ago, I did a lesson called Prayerlessness. And that lesson was about that there are certain things in life that you deal with that God never intended you to deal with it alone. Let me give you a couple examples. When you lose a mate, that's something God never intended you to deal with by yourself. That's something that God knew that we need help about. He knew that would be something that we would have to lean on him, because it would be overwhelming if we just continually focus on that. Another thing that God has told us that he doesn't want us to get overwhelmed is the temporary nature of trials that come into our lives. You know what? You have a trial that comes in your life. You pray about it. You analyze what you should do. You make a plan. You formulate a plan. You enact a plan. And then you put it in God's hands. That's it. And you go forward. You don't continually wring your hands, worry, despair, get overwhelmed. You do what you can. You trust God. You tell him what you need. And then we turn it over to God. You know what? That's hard for us. It's hard for us to turn things over to God. We think we can fix anything. We think we'll figure it out sooner or later. And sometimes we waste a lot of time. We get a lot of sleepless hours. We cry a bucket of tears. But we don't change one iota of what we're doing, because we didn't turn it over to God. Let me tell you something, brethren. God never allowed the things we have to deal with here to destroy our faith, because he's greater than any problem, trial, storm that life can throw at you. God is greater. He has a solution. We just have to enact it. We have to trust him. But there's one other thing we need to remember about this. This is part of the package deal of living here. You know, we all like that. We all like it when it's good. Our kids are doing well. Everybody's healthy. Job's going well. We have security. We have plans made up for our retirement. And things are going good. The nation is prosperous. When it's all like that, we like it. Everything's good. I think sometimes we forget to thank God for that. But then, it's not so good. What do we do? Do we then get discouraged? Do we begin to lose our faith? Do we forget that we're Christians? Do we forget about God? Do we forget that we have to accept the bad with grace as we accept the good? You know, you've got to accept both. God never, you know, Lynn Anderson made a lot of money in a song called "I Never Promised You a Rose Garden." And you know what? God never promised us a walk in the park. And our life is not going to be a walk in the park. Life is going to have some bumps. It's going to have some obstacles. It's going to have some up and down. It's going to happen. You know, no matter how good your life is, there's going to be someone or something that's going to throw a monkey wrench in it. And when that time comes, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find out how strong your faith really is. You know, I remember, I found this out in 1983. I remember. And you know what? I didn't like what I found out. Because my faith wasn't as strong as I thought it was. But you know what? I'm not ashamed to tell you that. I got through all that because God helped me. God helped me go through it. And I don't think there's anything else that God can lay at my door that I wouldn't trust Him to lead me through it. You know, all you have to do is let Him do it once. And you know that it works. And whether you let Him do it or not, it does work. You know what it says? To guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Worry and stress and anxiety will kill you if you let it. It will kill you. But that won't be God's fault. That will be our fault. We have to trust God. Do what you can. Pray to Him. Ask Him for strength. Ask Him for guidance. And then turn it over to Him and move forward. We can't allow our problems to paralyze us. Why did we just, listen, brethren, why would we allow a temporary obstacle to destroy every bit of happiness in our life? Somebody tell me, well, how that's a good decision. How's a good decision to destroy every good thing in my life over a temporary problem? That's a bad decision. We have to trust God. He will see us through the storms of life. Another thing that we need to pray for God's help in times of temptation and storms of life is because if you get over one today, doesn't mean you're not going to have another one. You may have another one. You know what? I've never been able to answer, and I've been asked this a lot of times. Why do some people seem to get more storms than others? I can't answer that. I don't know the answer to that. I just know that no storm can defeat you unless you let it. No storm in life, no matter how many you have, can defeat you unless you allow it to. God will see you through any storm, any difficulty, any adversity, any trial. He will see you through it if you let Him. We need to pray for the church. You know, the church is under attack. And if you don't think it is, then you're really naive. The church is under attack. We've been under attack for many, many years. And the church is under attack, and we should remember that that is the institution that Jesus died for. It's the institution that He designed to save His children. And so the church is a very important thing. In Philippians 1, verse 1 and 2, Paul and Timothy, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints of Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops, the deacons, grace be to you, peace from our God and our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of my making requests for you with all joy. You know, we need to pray for the church. What do we need to pray for the church about? Well, we need to pray for all the saints. Every soul is precious. And you know what? You know why God gave us brethren? You know why God gave us brothers and sisters in Christ? Because we need each other. Who else in the world understands the trials and tribulations of life like another Christian? There is not a Christian that you and I know that haven't been through something that we've already been through or what we're going through. There's people that can help you. I was amazed when I dealt with some of the problems in my life. And you know what? It took me a little while. But after a while, I began to understand that the trial that I had and the difficulty that I had, that I could help other people who were going through the same problem. You know what? I wish somebody would have talked to me when I was going through mine and would have helped me in order that I might not make mistakes. And so, you know, it took a while. I remember, let me tell you a little story. This is about maybe 20 years ago. There was a paper, and they were writing articles about hardships that happened to brethren. And the editor of the paper called me and wanted me to write an article about my situation that I had went through and its effect on me. And you know, it had been about 10 years since it had happened, and I just told him, I can't open up those wounds. I can't talk about them. You know, I'm sorry I did that. Because I should have wrote that article. Because I could have helped other people who are going through that same problem in their lives. Let me give you an example. When I lost my brother, I was 20 years old in 1974. And I was in England. And I was far away from home, and there was no church in England at that time. And so when I went back after being at home for a month, trying to help my mom and my dad, who were now divorced, and they both lost their son, trying to deal with both of them, I really didn't have time to deal with me. But when I got back to England and I was by myself, I had plenty of time to deal with me. And I didn't deal with me very well because I cried all the time, couldn't sleep, couldn't eat. It went on for a week. And then one day, on a Saturday, I'm sitting on my bed, feeling sorry for myself, and then it hit me. Keith, you haven't asked God for any help. What are you doing? And I changed at that time. I started to ask God for help. And you know what? Things got better. But you see, I tried to handle it by myself. And you know what? When you're 20 years old, you don't understand why a brother who's 15 years old was 15 years old, his life is over. You don't understand that. I never blamed God for that, but I didn't understand it. And you know what? If I hadn't got a handle on that, I could have destroyed myself. I could have destroyed my life and destroyed my faith if I hadn't woke up. God, we need to pray for each other. We need to be concerned for each other. Because we want all of us to go to heaven. I just don't want me to go. I want you to go too, and I need to be genuinely concerned when you have problems in your life. I may not have the solution, but I can be there. I can listen. In the 80s, when I was going through another problem, you know, one of the things here, we should pray for our elders. We don't have elders here at this time. But I can tell you, when I was in Peru, Indiana, and I was going through a very traumatic time in my life, the person that saved me was one of the elders of the church. He took an interest in me. I don't know how many nights I kept that man up to 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and he had to go to work the next day, just like I did. But you know what? He never told me what to do. He just listened. And you know what? That's what I needed. I needed somebody to listen. I needed somebody to understand and could tell me that I'm doing the right thing, that not to let this thing overwhelm me and beat me. And you know what? I give him a lot of credit. I would have never made it through that had it not been for that elder. You know what? We need people like that in our lives. They can help us when we go through difficulty. We need to pray for preachers. Brethren, I love what I do, but I'm telling you, God has shown me that there's a lot of other easier things to do than be a gospel preacher. And you know what? Brother Sims tonight prayed for me. I want you to know I appreciate that. I appreciate that because I need it. This is a tough job. This is a tough job if you're going to do your job. Now, a lot of preachers, it's not a tough job because they don't do their job. But if you do your job and you care and you want to help people get to heaven and you want to make sure they get there, you're going to have to invest time. You're going to have to invest yourself into that process. And when you do, you can be hurt. And I have been hurt. And my family has been hurt. But if you would ask me, would I do it all over again? I would say yes. Because that's how important it is to me. But I'm under no illusion. If I died tonight, you would be all right. You would go on. Because that's what you would have to do. But you know what? It's always easy to know how somebody else ought to do things until you've been in that position. You know, that's why every preacher needs a good friend that's a preacher. I have one. He's just too far away. He's in California. We talk all the time. He helps me and I help him. Because you know what? He understands. He's just like me. He cares like I do. And he's concerned. Right now, the church where he's preaching in California, they have people moving on in droves. And his church is dwindling. And he's really concerned about it. He's been there over 21 years. And it grieves him. I can hear it in his voice. But you know what? That's what God expects us to do. That's what God expects an evangelist to do. He expects an evangelist to invest in himself, to invest in the people, to invest in the congregation, and to put himself out there to try to help in every way that he can. And let me tell you something, brethren, when I no longer want to do that, I will no longer be here because I will be of no help to you. We need to understand that we're all in this together. We need to help each other in every way we can. Because this world's a tough place, and especially tough right now. And we need to help each other and hold each other's hands up, and we need to encourage one another that we do what God put us here to do. And that is to have a relationship with Him and have as much influence on the world and on others to lead people to Christ. We need to pray for the church, and we need to pray for every member, and we need to pray that it will flourish and it will continue to grow. Brethren, I can tell you that since I've been here 10 years now, maybe some of you it seems like 20, but I've been here 10 years, and I worry about where you're going to be in 5 years. I worry about that. I worry about that every year I've been here. I worry about that because I'm concerned that there will always be a church in this community that will spread the gospel and be a light to the world. But you know what? You need to be concerned about that too. As a member of this church, you need to be concerned about that too. Because we are the light that God put here. And we have an awesome responsibility to try to influence others to come to Christ. And it's not going to be done by one person. It's got to be done as a group in order that we could be what God would have us to be. You know, in conclusion tonight, prayer is such a powerful thing. You know, it hasn't caused me to cry less tears. It hasn't made the problem go away sooner than I wish it would have been away. But I can tell you it's helped me for one reason. Because I know God's listening. And I know God cares. That means more to me than anything. That no matter what my problem is, no matter what solution, no matter what obstacle that life is facing me, that God cares. And he's never too busy to listen. And he's never going to turn a deaf ear. And he will always answer my prayer. Now, you and I have to do, we have to accept whatever answer he gives us. And that comes down to trust. We have to trust God that he's going to do what's best for me. And that in the end, it will work out for my benefit. Do we trust God that much? Jesus taught his disciples to pray because that was important that they learn how to pray. He expressed they would increase their trust in God, their fellowship in their spiritual relationship. We often say, let us pray. And so we did. We studied prayer today. We talked about the prayer that he did in Matthew 6. Talked about God's help in the family. Praying for our leaders. Praying for God's help in life's trials, in temptations and storms. And in praying for the church. You know, who else has more to be thankful for than us? You know, even with all the difficulties I've had in my life, and I've had some, and I know you've had some, but can you say that you truly are not a blessed person for all the good things that God has brought into your life and all the good things that he's allowed you to experience and all the good things that he's given to make your life here on earth better? Who among us cannot say that God has not been good to us? Brethren, don't forget to pray. Prayer can strengthen you, can encourage you, can edify you, and can help you not allow the temporary problems of this life to destroy your love for God and your faith in him. I can assure you, every time you pray, God will listen. And every time you pray, God will answer. God knew that this world's a tough place. God knew that we need help. And God knew that we would need him. And so he gave us this blessing of prayer. And you know what the most tragic thing about this lesson is? I think sometimes we don't pray enough. We're not people of prayer that we ought to be. And because of that, we suffer because of that. If you're having a difficulty in your Christian life, it might be because your prayer life is not what it ought to be. Let me ask you two things in closing tonight. Do you pray to God on a regular basis? I don't mean over a meal, before you go to bed, when you get up. Do you talk to God on a regular basis? And number two, when you have a problem, when you have a difficulty, when you have serious things in your life that you're dealing with, do you turn to God first? Is he the first thing that you think about in dealing with your problem? Or do you seek other solutions and then try God last? Brethren, if you do the latter, then you really don't trust God and have faith in him like you think you do. God should not be the last option. God needs to always be the first option. Because God can do things that you and I cannot do. And he can provide things that you and I cannot do alone. And so let us pray and trust God, and he'll get us over the finish line. Please take your song books out. Turn to page 304. If there's anyone here tonight that needs the prayers of the church on your behalf, if there's anything we can do to strengthen you, encourage you, or if you need to make some things right with God, the Bible tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5, verse 17. If we can help you in any way, we bid you come forward as together we stand, as we sing.